The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It's Thursday, the 7th of... what month
September.
Is it on?
I thought it froze again.
I know, 2023. And that's a significant date. And I'll tell you why. It says, I'll just share the screen with you. By all means, if you're liking this content we're putting out there, share it, like it, subscribe. You know, the more people it gets to, the more likely we are to continue doing this. But a significant date, why for the AIM All Share Index? Because 2 years ago today was the high on AIM. And there we are, as you can see down here, 731 days in, 45% down pretty much. And like I said recently, that includes all the winners as well. So if it wasn't for the winners, obviously it'd be down a lot further than that. And I've had my fair share of losers as well in that thing. But the question is, where is the bottom? Because if we zoom in, we are. It looks no chance we're going to hit the bottom here. It doesn't look like it's in a trend in any way. Let me just, there we are. Look at that. We are nearing even lows. Last low was on the 21st of August, and we are nearing those lows. It doesn't look like there's any change in the trend, John, does there?
Not really. And I wouldn't like to pick a bottom. I mean, there's lots of bad news coming out. There's I always put a list together of what we're going to be talking about today, and it's a lot of red on there.
Yeah.
A lot of red.
Yeah. It's depressing there. First of all, let's go through some of the comments. We've had quite a few comments from yesterday. By all means, leave a comment on the side there. We will pick it up, if not today, then tomorrow. But Chris, even with the shirt internet debacle, I'm glad you've changed that beach shirt, John. It took down Lowestoft's internet yesterday.
I was going to put on a worse one to see if I could outdo it. But the internet seems to be holding steady. The shirt is plain.
Good. So what are your thoughts on PodPoint? We'll have a look at that. They are the second biggest, I think, largest EV charging producer out there. And I think they just read, Which is recommending them. And they said no one else is recommended. So we'll look at that. They are burning cash, but we'll look at that in a bit. Some interesting contracts over the last year, but it's been peppered with bad news. I like them for the long term, but remain wary given the size of their competitors. Phil says, all favour of a forest fire whilst I own Manolet Partners. The share price is doing bad at the moment, but seems an obvious re-rate once better results come in. Perhaps an opportunity cost has hit me, but I've had to be patient. Insolvencies are growing, and they should benefit over the next year or two. That is right. I mean, who else is this? Begbie's Trainer?
Begbie's.
In that area as well. Ewan says, great show. It's hard to find insightful coverage of less well-known parts of the UK market, so thank you. That's why we do it. You know, there's plenty of boring old podcasts that talk about big stocks. And, Patrick Holmes today down 10%. You'll see that everywhere. Then you won't see the microcaps. Where you can make decent money, make wealth. It's very risky, but very rewardy can be, is in the microcaps. And no one covers it. And that's why we do it. I love this area, the small nano microcap stocks.
I agree. I mean, coverage in this area of the market is very, very, very light, it has to be said.
Yeah.
It is problematic. We're trying to do our best to fill in the blanks.
Yeah. This is PodPoint share price, right? Look at that. It literally IPO'd back in November 2021 there at £2.14, went out 34 pence on the other thing. So, but I have looked at these. So I'm quite into EV stocks. 52 million market cap, pretty much. New contract win here. This is with, I think, was it with Persimmon or someone? Someone else. But they did win a Redro. Operating division, they're going to build stuff like that. But if you look at their results, I mean, they are, where is it, by new, lots of new contracts here. If you look at the results, this is for the end of December, then total revenue didn't grow by much. They've been growing a lot, but 71 million top line. They are making a bit of a loss there, 12 million. And so you've got to be concerned, but they've got plenty of cash, 71 million of cash. Now, it's gone down from 96, but you'd assume I don't know when profitability is forecast. I don't know if you've got any forecast there, John, but you assume that's enough cash, isn't it? 74 million in cash if they are making around about it's a 12 million loss. That's several years. So you'd hope they could go the other way. And I think I'm right. I did a list on my Twitter profile a while back saying these are the top five EV charging providers. And I'm sure Pod Point was number two. So they are a big player in that field. And of course, it's only going to get bigger, isn't it? What are we at? Less than 5% of cars on the road are EV. But that new registrations figure we had, was it yesterday or the day before? 20% of new registrations last month were EVs. That's a huge uptick, I think.
I think the market's only going one way. And I've looked at this before, you know, in the context of the majors, BP, Shell. And, you know, it's very surprising how few electric charging points, electric vehicle charging points, they've actually rolled out, the major operators of petrol stations. Actually, the majority of EV charging points seems to be going in private, institutions. Whether that, the deals here, like with house builders or...
Yeah.
Supermarkets or wherever it might be. So it's one of those areas where I think they have to invest for what will come in the future. So you would expect it to be loss making, while that transition is happening and while that investment's being made. I've got some forecasts, EBITDA profits by 2025 to just about 1.2 million at that point. The only thing I would say about something in this space, EV charging points are capital investments. They are capital infrastructure.
Yeah.
So is EBITDA necessarily the right profit metric to be looking at with a company who has depreciating assets like this? Because at the same point, pre-tax profits, or rather losses are still 14 million. So, it's like the old Ocado thing. They've often used figures like adjusted EBITDA, but that's assuming that their big vans, warehouses, vans, robots don't depreciate, which of course they do, and that requires money to update them. So, long term, 26, 27, you might actually see some meaningful numbers here. Certainly doing deals with the right people, and certainly in a market that's going in the right direction. But it's one where I think you've got to dig into the numbers to make sure you're comfortable with how they're reporting profits.
Yeah, do your fundamental research. Then, for me, I would obviously look at the chart and see, are they in a trend? I mean, it seems here, obviously, if they have some bad figures coming, it could go lower than this, but it seems they bounced here from sort of 30 pence up to 35. Mm. I'd want to see a break above the 50-day moving average and then new highs there to start a trend, because otherwise it could just go further down.
I mean, I spoke to an investment trust manager in the renewable space the other day. I think I might have mentioned it before. And... I think it's Triple Point. I get muddled up because I've spoken to quite a few of them. I think it's Triple Point. And they said the fastest growing area of their business, their investment business, was not sort of big wind or big solar installations, but individual corporate renewable efforts, whether that's sort of heat to energy or sort of localized generation or things like EV investments, LED lighting. So it's in the right place, and hopefully that we'll have partnerships with those sort of people. Probably a bit tricky with the old house builders at the moment, given what we've seen the drop in estimated completions.
Yeah. Michael says here, actually, had a really bad experience with Pod Point. Cancelled my order with him after 3 months. Ridiculously bad customer service. Now, that can be the problem with this small company that's growing very quickly. Customer service is almost, falling. It's not a priority for them, is it? They want to get the thing out there. So,
It should be a priority. But I suspect that they wouldn't want to scrimp on customer service. It's just the difficulties in rapid scaling that smaller companies often face.
Just a couple of things from yesterday on wind farms. Would you like a wind farm close to you? Because of course they've eased that regulation on that. It used to be if one person pretty much voted against a wind farm in your area, you couldn't get one. Now I think, I don't know what it's maybe a majority, but Riff Softball, hope that's not a swear word, said, would you like a wind farm next to your house if you got cheaper electricity? That's a good point. I'm sure most people would change their mind then.
It's a funny old thing. It's a funny old thing, NIMBYism, because, we complain about the housing crisis, but we don't want a housing estate built next door to us. We complain about, energy prices rising up, but we're cross about the nuclear power station being built down the road. So, it is a strange old thing. From my point of view, I think we have to be pragmatic. And, localised power generation distributed power generation seems really, really quite important in the whole transition. And so, yeah, I would welcome a wind turbine in my area. You know, you don't want it in your back garden. Back garden, these things are massive. But you know, there's plenty of ground.
I wouldn't mind that.
right in the middle of your lawn.
What I've got in my back garden. What the heck?
About as wide as the average house.
I know, they're huge.
But you know, you certainly, you know, I wouldn't object to one in my area if it meant that we genuinely got cheaper power.
There's a lot of issues with where standards are on wind farms. I don't know if you've seen this. And in fact, there's a news out today about the government, that their bidding process has fallen flat. They're asking too low a price on the electricity charge and all that. But anyway, but the size of the turbines now are getting so big that even shipping can't keep up with them. So they've had, you know, proper ships that can't actually load these or dock them. They can't transport them. So they're saying they want to standardize them a bit. But of course, something, one turn of one of these new blades, which are huge, I think 120 meters or something, would power like three houses for a month or something. Just one turn. And that's unbelievable.
But,
anyway, and one other thing from Riff Ossoff, or whatever his name is, aggregate everything that NIMBYs hate that's feasible in an area and let locals choose their poison. Wind farm, nuclear, airport, bail hostel, whatever. Choice is good, right? Yeah,
well, exactly. Absolutely. It's kind of what I was referring to. I'd seen that comment. You know, you know, if the NIMBYs had their way on anything, I think we'd all be cooking over an open fire on
exactly. You
know, pots bashed by hand.
I can understand why they say pylons are not attractive, but less people are worried about wind farms. They don't give off anything questionable.
It's funny you say that. Around here, the big problem is, you know, you have these offshore wind farms. Actually, you've got to get that power ashore somehow. So there has to be a terminal where the sort of cable meets the land, and that land then takes it further on. There's my parents' place in Suffolk, the National Grid are going to do a big survey because they're potentially going to put a bloody great cable through the middle of it.
And, you know, people certainly
Therese Coffey, our local MP, is cross about that. But at the same time, you know, we need the power. It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. You can't have it all. Not in my backyard. Yeah, yeah. Just look quickly at the indices before we carry on here. FTSE up, you know, 0.34%. AIM all shit down 0.6%. Everything else apart from the 52.50 is the green. Fallers here. Don't know if you saw some of the fallers. In fact, 250, if we're looking here, Pets at Home is falling. And I think Synthoma is a big sort of market competition investigating, you know, veterinary costs and food supplies and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So they're falling down there.
You never want to see the CMA come knocking on your industry store. That is
no, exactly.
It's a bit of a sort of bolt from the blue off and that. But then, you know, we've known there was issues in the restaurant market for a while in terms of competition. You know, in exactly the same way, if you remember in the past, Dignity, do you remember the old the funeral? Funerals provider, you know, we knew that sort of investigation was coming. No different here.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at the front page there. Palladium is one of my favourites. You know, I did sort of quite well in these, but I didn't take any money off, which I'm learning from. And literally, they went to the FDA. It was almost a nailed-on approval. They did three successful phase three trials, and then the FDA knocked them back. And the resultant share price has been catastrophic. And if you look at this, this is where I started investing down here at 17 pence. Then up to here, you probably see with the FDA, it's, you know, didn't pass. Went down here, it went up there, and I sold out. And then I bought a little bit more, and then got it again. But it broke down through this trading range, which is, you know, sort of run about 36 pence down here into this trading range. Look at that, at 19 pence broke down here, and now on interim results here today, we're down another 26%.
There is a note to the accounts which may explain the fall today.
What is it then? What's the note?
It's the one that nobody likes to see either. No, note two, going concern.
Okay.
And the problem is cash. You know, have they got enough cash to get through to commercialization, to full commercialization? And you know, the group, to its credit, says that it has you know, the runway till Q2 2024, and it's certainly made a lot of commercial progress. You know, it's done the first scan in the Cincinnati Children's Hospital. It's got a sort of Medicaid pricing approved. You know, these were sort of its strategic objectives. Cash is the issue here.
Yeah, it says here, but do you know what? Yeah, so they said the group's at the end of second quarter 2024, but they've also got a sort of ongoing partnership with Philips. Do you know what? Mm. I can't help think this is, honestly, it's world-leading technology. Like I said, it's had over 100 peer-reviewed papers written on it from Cambridge University. You know, top institutions are using it. And I think there's no better. You can't even pick up COVID on the standard technology out there. You can on their technology. I just think, I don't know what's gone wrong here, but I do think there's an opportunity to relate to. I mean, and I'll wait until the trend changes. But I think it's, you know, it's world-class technology, and it's been hit. You know, this come at the start, basically, of the end of the bull market, and it's been really hard since. But I think something like this, I do think sooner or later it will be an opportunity, but not just that the trend has got to stop going down, but it's very painful for holders. It's really hard work, and sometimes that can happen. Bear markets, there are, you know, if you're holding, they can hurt a lot. If you're not holding, there's some great opportunities, I believe, that have been sold off in the junior space. Like I said, AMOL share down 45%. That's including all the winners. And so there's some massive hits being taken, playing down, what, 90-odd percent, which is painful. There we are.
Yeah. It's, you know, it seems to have all the... have hit all its milestones, and you know everything is in place. It's just now, you know, the pace of commercial take-up is what we really need to see. You know, in the hope that, you know, it can get to that period without the need to raise more money.
Yeah. Inspecs report trading in line. So when they first listed, I looked at this, they're very interesting, I thought. They provide glasses to all the big sort of outlets, and they think of that, or is that developed glasses?
Yeah, you know, you get your sort of licensed glasses, you know, who do they do? Ted Baker. Liberty Barber, you know, so you go to Specsavers, and you know your premium rack is there with all the posh brands, and you know not the sort of the own brand ones. And I'm not sure if Inspec works with Specsavers for those, but yeah. So you know, it's a good market. You know, if everyone else is anything like me, your glasses last about 6 weeks, so you squash them and have to go and buy a new pair. you know, really really nice little business here. I think the interesting thing that they've done is expanded their manufacturing. They've started work on a big new facility in Vietnam. Actually, that's been part of a nice big broad trend as well. A real shift in manufacturing to Vietnam. It's becoming a real hub as the sort of there's a bit of a retreat from China. Vietnam is a massive beneficiary, and you know we often speak to Vietnam Holdings about this very trend. So there is a living example of it.
Yeah. That's, you can see that, you know, it's successfully. You can say that it's concluded the downtrend there, it's finished the downtrend, just now going sideways, have a nice bounce up there. You often get that when something's technically oversold, a big rally, 50% it rallied in January this year. But now it's in that sort of, you know, that range which needs to break out.
Look at the numbers, though. Look at the numbers on this. So, you know, what do you think? Just sort of look at the forecast at the moment. Just look at. Yeah, last year, you know, sort of just lost a fair bit of money, but this year, 260 million quid of turnover, you know, nothing to be scoffed at there. 14 million quid's worth of profit, you know, rising to 16 the year after, 17.5 the year after that. We're looking at a PE of 12 for this, and you know, it's growing nicely.
And looking is the operative word. Director Plus soars on largest ever contract for clean steel production. That's you, John, looking smart there, you know. So what's up
plus? I left the beach shirt at home. Nice contract, this. It's his biggest ever contract, €5.5 million. Bigger than, you know, rather this single contract is bigger than its entire 2020 revenues in total. And basically it's got this unpronounceable graphene-based product. Let me see if I can pronounce it.
Yeah,
I can't. Graph something or other that basically helps remove impurities from you know, oil-based impurities from things, and this is five times more effective than competitive products. And it's got a contract with a big steelmaker in Romania called Liberty.
Yeah,
it's been working on it for 2 years. That they've tested something like 40 million tons of you know, raw steel with this process. And been awarded this for a competitive tender. The contract could be bigger still. The Romanian steelmaker is, you know, this is about a fifth or a tenth the size of its entire organisation. So they've got a lot more plants out there that this could be rolled out into. And basically what you're using it is to remove impurities from the steel production process, which can then be recycled and fed back into it. So basically, you know, cleaning up the steel production process.
Is that the graphene sorber technology?
That's the one.
Yeah. Do you know what I thought actually recently? Do you know what I actually saw recently? Actually, you know, this all these the problems with schools and concrete and all that stuff and these things. And we did talk about who would benefit from this. And I remember a while back, Vasarion, which I used to hold years ago, but have gone through, really has gone through the mill. The CEO has stepped down. It's gone from it was 120 million market cap to 4 million. They have got some funding issues. But a while back, they did, there we are, successful cement precast concrete trials. And this is using their graphene admixture in cement. And there was some sort of significant sort of, they use less stuff, less emissions. It strengthens the cement. But there we are. They could be a beneficiary for that. They can commercialize that very quickly. But that's very interesting, and it could rally on that. But they need funds, I suppose. But
I think the problem with trials like that is, I don't doubt for a second that, if you introduce a product like graphene, the compound like graphene into cement, into whatever it may be. Then it will, potentially strengthen that product. The trouble is, here, the example is within this, aerated rack concrete, aerated concrete itself, is that, no one is going to introduce a sort of wonder material into a live environment without years of testing to make sure.
Yeah, they're not going
to
make the same mistake twice. I know exactly.
No way.
They've got to make sure something is proven over years in a real environment.
Going back to the company we talked about yesterday, Zenova. Their UV and UV thermal protection and heat protection stuff is proven. In a commercial environment, is proven in a live environment, has been tested, does have its safety certifications. There's a big difference, trial but real products. I think there is a gulf between the two things. Going back to Director Plus, graphene, it was this sort of wonder material, everyone got very excited, but here's a company actually doing something with it and, forecast to hit pre-tax profits by 2025. So,
Well, do you know what was interesting is it's just realizing when you having, proprietary tech that's cutting edge and that will advance the industry. That's one thing. But like I said, even with like Polarian, another example, to commercialize that, can be a long road, you've got the industry working off one standard. You're trying to change that. First of all, most of them invest in that industry. But in fact, with Polarian, it adds value to already installed MRI scanners and CT scanners. But it does take a long time. It's glacial almost. So, even though Polarian's tech seems to be world-beating, it may take a while to commercialize it. But then it'll take off. And so same with all these graphene blades. Like Direct Plus are commercializing theirs. But it does take a long time, doesn't it?
On that score, actually, just think about intelligent ultrasound, which I know... We talked about. I know that you like.
Paul today on our other live show, I bought a few of those, and I really like them. I said they've gone through all the FDA processes. They don't need any more passes like that. All that's done. They are commercializing it, and even the AI side of it. They have got GE using that. Now GE is the biggest in the world at those machines. Why are they using intelligent ultrasound AI?
But at the same time, why is Philips using Polarian's technology? Yeah. But it's still a long road between forging that partnership and getting meaningful commercial revenues out of it. Intelligent ultrasound is a few years into that process, and the momentum is just starting to build quite nicely. Mm. Polarian is a bit further behind on that route, even though it's got this big partnership. It's just those big names. Yeah, they're exciting and they bode well for the future. But it's not a license to print money on day one. Absolutely not.
Well, no, it's taken it's an intelligent ultrasound. Years they've gone through all the FDA approvals, and now they are saying this year now they're going to start to be profitable. They have the cash to be profitable, and now the growth is starting to really motor. And the AI side is really impressive. Like I said to Paul earlier, they've gone from last H1 just £300,000 on AI. This H1, £700,000. By the end of this year, their AI with 2.2 million. So doubling, double again, double again. And they say by 2025, they'll do 12.5 million in AI. Now, that's phenomenal growth. A small company that would invest in AI before, when it was first talked about. For a long time, they got hundreds of thousands of images that they work off. And GE using their tech. But like now,
remember as well that intelligent ultrasound has to sell the benefits itself of its add-ons. GE doesn't necessarily do that for it.
Yeah. Okay, so clean tech lithium, what's happening there? Clean tech, so you got government operation there. And of course, they are direct lithium extraction in Chile. They've written it in some news today. Have you read this, John? I haven't had time this morning.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all part of sort of moving towards production and all part of sort of, you know, getting over some of those concerns around the sort of the intentions of the government in the country. So what they've done, they've applied for the licenses to you know, really sort of start producing at these projects and invited the government to participate, you know, almost in a sense preempting any sort of trouble down the road. It's going to take 3 to 6 months, but yeah, I think it's a smart move. Especially as their technology, the DLA based approach, you know, it's cleaner. They're much smaller than some of the other lithium producers in the country. So yeah, I think it's a very, very, very smart move by them.
I like that they've actually seen a picture in the RNS, the submission documents. There's three of them there for each for a project, the looks of it, and they are weighty tomes, and you know. Even spell checking those take a while, let alone putting them together. So you realize that the kind of work that goes into these things, you know, getting mines up and all that, or anything huge. What about Kinovo? Kino, what's happening there?
Kinovo. Yeah, just more contracts.
That's a good uptrend. Look at that.
Yeah, nice company. Nice company, this. So, you know, which are these for? These are, I think, as I said before, they've worked with a lot of local authorities, you know, housing associations, that sort of thing. Also, all sorts of companies on basically, you know, building maintenance management, you know, introducing sort of renewable elements to it. And these are a couple of nice big contracts on that front. So
are they taking someone over, or someone taking them on with acquiring someone? What's happening there?
They were someone else. I can't remember what they used to be called. They used to be called something else. That had a few problems, but they seem to have, you know, refocused their strategy. Some renewables, regeneration, and something else beginning with R that I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, but sort of three things that are really important in the sort of modern built environment, particularly sort of public sector. Building management and
was it Bilbo? Were they called Bilbo or something like that? Or something?
I can't remember. Anyway, it'll come to me.
By the way, we always mention the comments. If you want to comment, please do comment. Even the ones that have a little dig here. So Ian says, bit disappointing, you shut down GDR abruptly and never discussed about GDR when the guests joined back online. Bit unprofessional. Oh, that was, hang on, he's blaming me. That was your shirt.
It was all your fault, Justin.
Your shirt took the internet down, then I forgot to recover it. So GDR yesterday, what are we?
Gene Drive. Yeah, so this was...
That's right. I did say, I crudely said that you started just pausing on the internet. And I said, well, it sounds like you've had a bit of a stroke, John. And this was just in relation to this news. But anyway, there we are.
It's basically UK, it's marketing registration for this system that it has. So it's kind of taking it closer to being introduced as part of the sort of management of strokes within the NHS. And what it is, it's a test for testing how patients respond to blood thinners, clot prevention, that kind of stuff. Clopidogrel, which is given to prevent blood clots, which obviously the cause of strokes. And you know, there are certain markers that mean certain patients don't respond to this, which can be sort of wasted treatment. It's essentially, you know, misprescription if you prescribe this to people where it's not going to work. And so this is really useful. You know, leaves it on track to, and say, get this product into the NHS part of its emergency medicine. Leaves it on track to get it into the EU, and it's a really important thing. You know, healthcare systems under pressure. I want to save as much time and money as possible. Don't want to be prescribing drugs when they don't need to. Don't want people not responding, therefore spending more time in a clinical environment. So yeah, really, really, really encouraging news.
Cool. I mean, last time this had a big rise. If you see that, I always try and focus on this 50-day moving average. Look at that, it broke out and broke up a previous highs, which is here, which is like 13 pence, and then it went up to like 45 pence. Right now, you see that previous breakout there, you draw the line across, and it's still struggling that line again. It's come back down, but it needs to get above that 50-day moving average and hopefully get over 15 pence maybe to get back into an uptrend. At the moment, it's struggling. I don't know what's happening there. Maybe there's a seller there because the news is good. Maybe the seller's just taken advantage of that liquidity event just to exit a few. Who knows?
Maybe
that'll dry up.
Maybe. So, but, I mean, you know, they've still got that sort of race to profitability, you know. to get there within their current cash balances. It was about $4.5 million at the end of the 2022, which was roughly the same as their sort of EBITDA losses. So, you know, on that, it is a bit of a race against time here for them. So, yeah, any news of potential commercial success is very, very welcome.
Yeah, so looking on the side here of the most followed companies, HE1, which Helium One, they've raised some money. I saw that popped up on an app there. So I don't know if they're at 6.3, I think. There we are. And but that's the most followed. So I don't know what they're going to do that, but that's most followed today. Helium One, it's had a bit of a torrid, well, not alone, of course, on AIM, but, you know, look at that. It's come from I remember interviewing these guys on the IPO, and it literally took off. When it's 27, 28 pence. I'm not saying because of my interview, but people had a lot of excitement about it and helium and all that. The gap down here, I don't know why that was, but it said now we're at close to 50-week lows, but they've raised some cash there, so hopefully that will help. But you can see there, obviously, you know, the resistance level. And it broke down.
How much have they raised? What did they raise?
Let's have a look. They raised about 6.9, was it? Yeah. Yeah, 6.3. That's a rate. Gross profit, 6.3.
You know, healthy chunk. Decent fundraise.
Chill Brands trading update. This company obviously shot up when they were Zoetic before, and then Spectrum D is up. And why isn't this refreshing this? But Spectrum D, Life Science, most followed. But Chill Brands, are they up or down? Down on that. They've had another torrid ride, but really, they were called Zoetic before, but they really took off. And then they're doing these, I think nicotine-free vapes. But this is well followed.
What's the point? What are the point of them?
I think it's the people who just need that. It's almost like with smoking. You know, I used to be a smoker, and you have the nicotine addiction, but also the physiological sort of addiction of wanting to do something with your hands and suck something, you know? I mean, do you remember years ago, they used to have those, like, cigarette plastic things. You
just a stick.
Yeah.
It was just a stick.
Yeah, just that. I think the effect of just blowing out something, it helps you, and then they reduce your nicotine, you know? But they are quite... And apparently, though, with non-nicotine vapes, they can last for longer. You can have, like, I think, 3,000 puffs in them. With nicotine, you can only have 600 puffs or something. So I don't know why. But there we are. They launched that. But I do think I don't know if they're ahead of the curve here or what, because they're in an area now that's quite... They're doing CBD for a while. But I think what's the point of difference here is so much of this in the markets. And in China, Elf Bars and those other ones are dominating, by the looks of it, in that area, aren't they? There we are. What a difference they have. Rises and fallers. You mentioned the fallers here, yeah. Look, CVS, that's pets. Oh, Synthoma, have you seen this? I was looking at this about 2 days ago. And just on charts, I'm just scanning at 52-week lows for some reason. And this was in there already. And they came up with their half-year results and a rights issue. They do have quite a bit of debt, I think. I was looking at their debt, and they had quite a lot of debt. But, approximately $276 million by way of a rights issue. To obviously existing holders. That's when you've got debt, you're always very careful of debt and all that, because it can drag you down very quickly in this environment. And look at that share price. Gone from £5.60 to literally, it's lost 90% of its value.
Yeah, without having looked at this company for a long time, just looking very quickly at their sort of overall forecast, if this is correct, then net debt is a billion quid.
Wow.
It certainly was at the end of 22, and that had risen relatively sharply, so I assume they made a big acquisition. But, you know, I can also only assume that they've sort of been caught out by the interest rate rise and now find themselves either having to refinance at much, much higher rates or raise equity. And have therefore decided to raise equity on the basis that the debt is too expensive. So that's obviously not great news for shareholders.
Yeah, we keep getting this. Just the last three headlines here, top business stories. House prices followed their fastest rate in 14 years in August, according to Halifax. They did say, of course, this is obviously includes the rise that we had, the bubble, the froth. But it said house prices could drop by 1.9% in July and August alone. Had dropped, sorry. And they say Halifax predict further falls. Next one is the vet prices thing. The vet prices review fears pets are being overcharged. A review of veterinary services in the UK has launched some concerns, and you've got pets at home. I mean, that's what the pets at home. So it's down 10%, which is quite big for It's not a huge amount, but
yeah, I've just got a puppy actually.
Yeah.
And so far we haven't really had a vet bill. So fingers crossed. I've taken out pet insurance, but that's not bloody cheap.
Well, do you know what? I'll tell you the thing now, right? We got a little cockapoo, right? She literally up to, you know, small dog. It's a small dog. Her insurance is more than my life insurance. How does it? They're questioning whether we've been overcharged. Yeah. So she's worth more than me. What the heck? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, to be fair, I said that dogs are more likely to eat something horrendous that they find in the garden or run out.
Well,
I eat
pretty rubbish stuff, though. I eat a lot of rubbish.
Well, do you know what? The funny thing I heard, when you take out pet insurance, one of the key questions and indicators of your price is, do you own a pub? You own a pub, then your pet insurance is significantly higher still.
Yeah, I suppose you've got the locals just feeding all kinds of crap.
Exactly.
You'll never get a skinny pub dog
But yeah, I must admit, I've gone into the Pets at Home and I actually think it's a great shop.
It is. I bought some Pets at Home back down here. They were hammered, right, doing the thing. I should have got in after COVID because look at that. That's when, of course, COVID dipped there and everyone sort of started buying pets. It's dropped off a bit now, but it's 10%. Yeah. No, Pets at Home, I'd gone into them, you know. We are on the loyalty scheme there, and I've gone, you know, different areas at different parts of the country, and they're always great. They're always very helpful, and I think it's literally, unless you've got a local one next to you that's got a good customer service, it would be your one-stop shop for everything. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. I luckily have bought a dog that doesn't require grooming, but I hear that's rather expensive. Maybe
what did you shave it every day?
No, it's wire haired. Maybe CMA wants to have a look at that. But the old cockapoos need a bit of grooming.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's 60 quid every 3 months. Every 3 months, 60 quid. On top of the insurance bills, it's like phenomenal. It is. You can see why it's awful, but some people are just giving up their dogs, and that's awful. But anyway, that's it. And are you off tomorrow, John?
I am. I'm going to be off to the beach, getting the beach shirt back on.
Okay, so it's either me or someone's going to step in. Maybe I grab Martin and grab him in, but... have a nice weekend, John. Speak next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.